There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey friends, this is episode 106, and I will be chatting today with my friend Dana of Sea Law Signs. I have loved getting to know her, and I really love her signs, especially this ombre sunset one she's doing these days. They're super cute. And I also love her heart for God and people. In this episode, she gets really honest about hard places that have happened in her marriage. She talks about what she saw her struggling marriage doing to her kids. And finally, she tells about what happened when she got serious about making some changes in her own behavior. She also tells about how she very creatively used her giftings to pay for her daughter's expensive hobby and how it has been completely worth it because she has seen her daughter be transformed. So many great ideas, lots of food for thought in this chat. Before we get started, though, I am excited to tell you about this week's sponsor, Opinion Outpost. Market research is a $50 billion a year industry, and companies need to know what people like you think before they launch their new products. That's where Opinion Outpost comes in. Opinion Outpost connects companies with people like you through online surveys and gives you the chance to tell companies how you think and feel about everything. You can tell them about new products, advertising, social issues, all kinds of things. And since they know your time is valuable, Opinion Outpost rewards you for taking surveys. You can earn cash, you can earn gift cards to like Amazon and iTunes. Surveys are accessible 24/7, so you can participate when you're up in the middle of the night with your kiddos. Your personal information stays private and secure. It's free to sign up, and you can actually earn money just by sharing your opinion. So sign up today at opinionoutpost.com/struggling to make your voice heard and start earning rewards. That's opinionoutpost.com/struggling to share your opinion today. Okay, ladies, let's get started on my chat with Dana. Hey, Dana, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
What did you do this morning?
I cut and sanded a bunch of wood for work and got ready for this podcast interview.
Okay.
And I've got dance recital tonight, so getting my daughter ready for that, packing up all of her costumes and her glitter and her bobby pins.
Oh my goodness. I hate glitter. Do you like glitter? Are you fine with glitter?
No, we have a glitter ban in our house. We do not allow it, except for in the form of this little makeup capsule that only gets opened up at dance competitions and recital.
Okay. Gosh. So how many costumes go into one recital?
Well, it depends on how many classes your kid is in. But my kid dances competitively. So she's in like 8 classes that require a costume.
For each?
Yeah. So, and each costume is $85. So in October and November, it gets a little crazy for bills.
So what do you do when they're done with the costumes?
They are really great and very expensive Halloween costumes.
Okay. So good.
Some people will also, like, if they do a solo the next year, they'll recycle their costume and use it for that.
All right. Well, tell us about you and your family. Obviously, dance is involved and glitter.
Yeah. I never anticipated being a dance mom, but my name's Dana. I am the big, fabulous 40. Been married for 15 years. I've got 2 kids, Bailey and Sam, and they'll be 10 and 7 next week. Actually, this weekend. They have birthdays 2 days apart.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Okay, I have a lot of things I want to talk about. 40, how did you think that would be and how has it been?
40 has been amazing. Like, I've never been afraid of turning 40. I think the 20s were all about thinking that I knew everything. And then the 30s were about learning that I knew nothing. And the 40s are now going to be comfortable with that balance of I'm actually starting to understand things and have some wisdom, but yet I don't have to have it all together and I'm a hot mess and it's okay.
Great. I'm 37, so I'm heading that way.
Well, when you get there, just give me a call and we'll have a chat.
Okay, sounds good. And the other thing I wanted to ask about, birthdays and kids when they're really close together, how do you run that?
I am not quite sure. When they were younger, we would just have parties together, okay. and that was fine. But now that they have their own friends and interests, birthday week is incredibly stressful around here. And then when you add recital week to it, because it's always paired up together, it's a little intense. So yeah, my son, I think, is going to do this movie theater thing. We're going to go see Cars 3 and spend the wad on that one. We talked about that the other day. And then my daughter's going to have two birthday parties, one with her school friends and one with her dance friends, because they're very different and they have different interests. Last year, we tried to do a party together with school and dance friends, and it did not go over very well.
What went wrong? It was just awkward.
Well, the dance friends all wanted to do flips and everything on the trampoline. And the school friends, because they couldn't do flips on the trampoline, they all wanted to do like crack the egg games. And so there was a complete divide socially between the two. And Bailey kept on having to bounce back and forth between the two groups during her party. Not cool.
Well, that's a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to split it up this time.
Okay. How long have you been doing your business? Tell us about your business.
I am a hand-painted sign maker. I have been painting signs for about 14 years. I took it full-time 2 years ago in June. So 2 years ago this month. And I started off like just wanting to be a sign painter. It was a skill that I had and I loved to do it. But over the past 2 years, what it's actually developed more into is like a ministry of encouragement that just happens to be self-supporting by putting paint on wood. So the things that are going on in my heart and mind, I tend to paint out onto wood. And then I tell the story about how the sign became what it is. And I tell a lot of stories about my own personal life and my walk with the Lord and my marriage and my kids and parenting and my hot mess of everything. And people tend to relate to that. More than anything, I think people are just getting encouragement in their okayness and the fact that they don't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to the point where you could talk about that? Or were you always fine talking about what's going on with you?
I've always been an oversharer.
Okay.
but I, you know, we went through a really difficult time about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. Yeah. The first 10 years of our marriage were really hard. And whenever I'd try to talk about it, I would just start to bawl because I was still in the middle of the story, in the middle of the brokenness. And so I knew my husband kept on saying, like, you need to write a book and whatever. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're like, I'm a hot mess. Like, I can't write a book right now. And I feel like I'm on chapter 3 of a 12-chapter book. Now I kind of feel like I'm at the end of that. And so I feel like I can talk about the things that are in my life. I don't share a ton of specifics, but just that the fact that there's brokenness in God's grace. And now I can talk about those things without crying. And okay. So now I feel like God's just given me a platform to share more about my story and help other people out. And it's a good season of life to do it.
Okay. So what changed from 10 years ago to now? Like, why can you talk about it?
Just a lot of healing. You know, my husband came into our marriage with a lot of baggage and I didn't have as much baggage, but my sin came in when I started responding to his baggage, started being really controlling and micromanaging. And I developed a lot of anger and stuff. And it was mostly just in response to my husband's baggage and how it affected his personality and how he treated me. We got to a really bad place. We were about 10 years in. We had just moved here to the coast, got into a huge yelling match fight, actually left for the night and slept in a hotel and came back the next day. And we had a really honest conversation for the first time in a really long time. And I had actually been going to a therapist for a while, and she had asked me to take this thing called a post-traumatic stress index test. Okay. And it was a bunch of questions, and you're just supposed to respond to those questions and see if you were going through any trauma or if you had experienced trauma in the past. And I scored really high on a couple of those areas that were in there. And honestly, it was so long ago, I can't remember all the areas, but things like taking underachieving jobs because you didn't feel like you were worth it. Mm. And I never realized, like, I never connected the dots between the fact that this is who I am now. And it's a product of the past 10 years of a marriage that has not been centered on Christ. And it's not been, we've not been loving each other and we've not been working on the same team. So when he came home that next day after that huge fight, I got to share with him the results basically of the post-traumatic stress index test that I had taken. And I feel like for the first time in our entire marriage, he actually just sat and listened and absorbed it all. He didn't defend himself. And he just said, I am so sorry. Like, for the first time, it was just like, I had no idea that I had done this to you. I'm so sorry. And in that moment, that was where God started healing our marriage.
Okay. You shared with me just a little bit that there were things that you did not know about when you entered into your marriage. And I know there's several women who, once they've gotten married, things break open and then they're like, what in the world am I supposed to do now? So how did you navigate? Do I stay or do I go? Or what do I feel like I've been kind of completely cheated or deceived.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You know, I think there was a time when my husband said to me, like, here it all is. This is all of it. And he gave me permission to leave. I remember specifically where we were. We were in his parents' bedroom at his house. And he looked at me and he's like, you have permission to leave. And I said to him, you know, you didn't do this to me. A lot of his baggage came from his teenage years. And I said, you didn't do this to me. You know, the way that things are now in our marriage is a byproduct of from when you were a kid, and you didn't do this to me. So I don't feel justified in leaving. And I never felt God saying leave. I never, you know, I never said, felt him say, like, you're done. You can go now. I always wanted to believe in the happily ever after. I wanted my wedding day to matter forever. I never felt like giving up. Okay. And I know plenty of other people now that I'm 40 that have given up for much less. And it makes me so sad. I used to have really black and white lines on divorce and everything. And now I don't. It's much grayer to me. That's another conversation in itself. But I never felt like God said I could go. And I also, I always have been super stubborn. And I feel like God's grace is sometimes disguised in my stubbornness. Like, if you just stay with this, and if I'm thinking I'm gonna stay with this, but it's really God saying, like, if you'll just stay with this, I will reward you and it will be beautiful.
Okay. First of all, the getting healthy process, what does that look like? And what have you seen that God has done in it, that, like, the reward that you were talking about?
I think when we just start getting real with our junk, it's definitely step one. Like, my husband started getting real. He started owning his stuff, his junk from his past, and how he was currently responding to it. I started acknowledging that I actually had sin in all this. Because, you know, 10 years, you just want to blame somebody the whole time. And you don't even realize that in the process, you're sinning as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, like, just in response to it. But, like, we all have a choice in how we respond to things. And I wasn't responding well. I was justifying it, but I wasn't responding well. So when we first just started owning the fact that we were both contributors in this mess called a marriage, mm-hmm. I think that's when we really started moving towards healing. My husband also got involved with a men's accountability group, which was super helpful for him. I was also in a women's, not accountability group, but more of a support group. And it was for the core issue in our marriage. So he was getting help. I was getting help. We just started working through all of the stuff. And we finally, I think we also finally realized, like, we're not on opposite teams here. Like, we're on the same team and we need to move forward together rather than butting heads against each other.
Mm-hmm. It seems so basic, but it's such a gigantic paradigm shift.
Yeah, huge. And it's not, it's something that a lot of people never get to. I think it's that 7 year thing. Like, at 7 years, you're like, I'm bailing or I'm in this for a while. Okay. And I think we were, you know, we were past that point and we realized that we needed to get our act together, not just for us, but for our kids too. Cause they were starting to get older and they were starting to, like, see the fighting and respond to it and starting to, like, yell themselves. And like, when you realize, like, you're producing little angry people, like, that's a really humbling thing. So that was part of it too, was let's get our act together for our kids.
What have you seen now that you're in a healthier place? How is that affecting your kids?
You know, we have really honest conversations with our kids. We still yell and have problems, but more than not, like, we go to our kids and we apologize and we go to each other and we apologize. And when my kids sin, I mean, they're not going to acknowledge it as sin because they're still pretty young. But, like, when they do and they know that they've made a mistake, they actually come to us and they also apologize. My daughter likes to write notes like, Mom, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like we've just created an atmosphere where we're willing to admit that we were wrong and we're willing to reconcile over it. I have a really hard time not reconciling. For years, my husband would just like blow, you know, sweep everything under the rug. And I kept on wanting to confront. And he's starting to learn, like, you have to resolve these issues. They don't just go away. Yeah. That's been a big part of it for us.
It is really hard to be the one who wants to reconcile with someone who doesn't. Because then you kind of feel stuck. You mentioned to me that you really wanted to have the redemption story and you didn't know how to do that. So for someone who's listening who just feels like they're at the place where they want it, but their spouse isn't, what have you learned?
Oh, this is probably one of the biggest life lessons I've ever learned. And it was, I was seeing a therapist. I was talking to her about the redemption story. I'm sure I was crying. I was just saying, like, I just want the redemption story. I want everything to work out in the end and I want to be happy. And my therapist looked me straight in the eyes and said, Dana, you need to realize that there's a redemption story, whether your husband is included in it or not. And that was, I'll never forget it. It was the most eye-opening thing I had heard in a really long time. Like, when I realized, like, God can still have a redemption story in my life, whether or not my spouse chooses to participate in that, that was a game changer for me. And I've had a lot of people watched my husband and I go through a very difficult 10 years while they were not. And most recently, I've had many of those people come to me and say, I remember you guys going through rough stuff. Like, how did you get through and all this kind of stuff? So like my mess of a marriage for the first 10 years is now getting to minister into the hearts of my friends that weren't messed up the first 10 years and now are getting to that place where they need help. And every time I share that piece about the redemption story.
How did you talk about your marriage when it was currently a mess? And you're, you know, walking with the Lord and you're going to church and all that stuff. And you're surely not supposed to, quote unquote, be a mess. So what do you do?
I was really honest about it. But I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't really good at the non-husband bashing thing. Like, you know, talking about your husband in public poorly. I wasn't very good at that. I will be the first to admit it. And that's definitely one of the things that I needed to acknowledge in my journey with this is that I needed to stop.
How did you get to the point of acknowledging? Because some of us think, well, I'm not, you know, it's not bad. I'm just being honest. But that doesn't mean that it's necessary or helpful.
I think anytime you admit something out loud, like you actually hear yourself say it, it's a big admission. You can think it in your head all you want and you can just deny it and push it down. But when you start to realize like, yeah, I am a contributor in this problem and I say it out loud and I write it in a book and I talk to a therapist about it and I admit it to my husband, like when you do all of those things and make it a very, very real thing because you've said it out loud, that's, I feel like, when you can actually start moving towards healing and making things better.
Okay. Regarding like speaking poorly about your husband, did you have somebody tell you like, hey, Dana, that's not cool the way you're, I mean, maybe he's doing those things, but.
Probably. You know, I mean, I had really supportive friends that completely understood our marriage. They knew everything about it, probably because I talked about it so much, but they walked with us through a lot. I probably learned more than anything just by watching other people not do it. And also hearing in sermons or in podcasts or in whatever, like the power of talking well about your husband. Like I knew it all along.
Okay.
You know, I just had a bad habit of it. And now it's really easy to do when you don't have a lot of respect and a lot of good feelings towards the one that you're with. It's so much easier when you do respect them. And I think respect is also just a, like, it's just a stage of mind or whatever that phrase is. Like, you get there and you start to respect them for who they are because they're doing things that you respect. And it's easier to talk about people well when you're respecting them.
Yeah. What was it like to see other marriages during this time?
That's a great question. I would say my emotions were all over the place with that. I would get angry that God gave other people a better marriage than mine. I'd get angry because other women out there like were married to these men that were like doing respectful things. And not that my husband wasn't, but I just couldn't see it, you know, because there was just so much anger. And so there was a lot of anger, jealousy, but at the same time, I think it gave me hope. Like, okay. This is possible. Having a good marriage is possible. We just need to keep moving in the right direction and we just need to get real with our stuff and start acting like we're on the same team. And, you know, you'd pray for it and I'd fast for it and get angry about it and try to, and more than anything, I probably just tried to control it as much as possible to make it into the thing that I thought it was supposed to be. And it never worked. It always backfired. And then once I started seeing a therapist, my husband went to accountability, I was in a support group, we started owning our junk. All of a sudden, I woke up one day, and this is going to sound so corny because people are like, yeah, right, that'll never happen to me. But like, I woke up one day and I was drinking a cup of coffee, I'm sure. And I just started thinking about my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is how, like, I woke up today and this is how God has always intended for our marriage to be. Like, I'm happy, I'm full of joy, I love my husband. This is how it's always supposed to have been. And the greatest thing about it, my realization was that I had absolutely nothing, like no control over it. I didn't cause it to happen. It was completely God. Like I woke up and just all of a sudden I realized like God did this, and I had nothing to do with it except for being willing to be an active participant in the growth.
So good.
Yeah,
it's hard and it's messy and it's slow.
Very slow.
It's so worth it. Now, you told me that you, regarding your daughter, and you never thought you'd be a dance mom. And you mentioned that finding her passion was kind of tricky. School, she's not that into school. So how did you help her find her passion? Because it's not always easy as it seems to find what your kids need, you know, because there's 7 gajillion options of things, activities to be involved in. And it's very expensive.
When we moved to the coast, Bailey was 5 and a half, and she was as active as could be, like just couldn't stop moving. Very ADHD-ish. Mm-hmm. Couldn't pay attention. Just could not stop fidgeting all the time. Talked to my mom, and she said, well, Dana, you were the exact same way when you were that age. And I said, well, what did you do about it? And she said, well, I enrolled you in gymnastics. And I said, I thought you did that because you love me. And she's like, no, I did it because you were bouncing off the wall.
Oh, man.
So we didn't have a gymnastics academy here, but we did have a dance school. And we live in a very small coastal community. We actually don't have a ton of resources and we don't have a lot of options, which in this case, I think was a really good thing because there wasn't a bajillion things to choose from.
Okay.
And so we enrolled her in her first dance class. My mom paid for it because finances were tight. And she loved it. The next year we enrolled her in another class. Her teachers were like, she's really good. Like she's gifted. Let's get her in some more classes. And I'm like, I can't afford it. And she said, well, we do barter. And I said, really? Yeah. And I mean, I'm an artist and I've done like wall murals and things like that. And so we started bartering for my daughter's dance tuition. Oh. And I painted 40-foot murals in their dance studio and did cute Argyle painted walls in their bathrooms. And they kept me so busy painting stuff on walls and storefront windows and whatnot that we were able to work my daughter into like a dance schedule that was like 6 or 7 dance classes a week. Even for the first year that she was on competitive team, I was able to barter her entire tuition, including her $85 costumes.
Wow.
And so I know. So, which was really wonderful. And the thing is with my daughter is that she really, really struggles in school. She has a hard time reading, very similar to me. Like she can read, it's slow. Her comprehension it's difficult and her eyes bounce all over the page. We've actually had her tested. We've done some brain testing and we've done some private work with her on processing stuff, but she really just really struggles in school. So when she found dance and started really grabbing onto it and started excelling at it, it was what everybody else's honor kid in school was like. They're all proud of their kid for doing amazing in school. Well, I'm proud of my kid for doing amazing in dance. Okay. And some people would say it would criticize me like, you have your kid in too many dance classes. She should be focused more on school. And I said, you know what? I will. And I could probably get a lot of criticism for this. But I said, I will never take my kid out of dance for poor school performance because she does not feel important there. She does not feel smart there. She does not feel successful there. But my kid lights up on a dance floor. Mm. And she may need to Google fractions when she is 18 years old. But the things that she learns, the confidence that she's building on the dance floor and the success that she feels on a regular basis is worth way more to me than proficient fractions. Hmm. And I mean, I'll take away dance from her if she gets sassy with me and if her attitude is bad. But if she never excels in school, I'm going to let her keep dancing because it's where she feels the best about herself.
That's so good.
I think with kids, you have to do that. Like, everybody needs something that they feel important at.
Yeah. And school is the easiest one. You know what I mean? Because they all have to go. So I think that if, like with my daughter, school's not her jam either. And I felt like, well, because it was mine, I felt completely at a loss. Like, hold it. Can you become interested in school? Because it would be a lot easier for me.
Yeah, I know. School was really easy for me too. So I have a hard time understanding like why she can't understand basic math concepts. It's just not her thing. And it wasn't my husband's thing either. He hated school too. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense, but it's hard to relate to. But this year, my daughter's turning 10. She's been dancing competitively for 2.5 to 3 years. This year, I feel like she and I have developed the best relationship we've ever had. And it's been because of dance. It's been traveling to competitions, spending weekends together. We've actually really just started enjoying each other's company. Emily, I feel like this year has been like my most favorite and successful year as a mom that I've ever had. And it's all because of dance.
That is so cool. And you never would have thought.
No, I never intended to be a dance mom. And when you live on the coast, you're a coastal dance mom, which is a totally different kind of dance mom than you would see in like a big city or like on TV.
Okay.
We are laid back. We wear flannel shirts and we relax a little bit. We are not high strung like others might be.
Okay. So what are you going to do when you've painted every square inch of their area?
That's a good question. I already have. They had me actually doing their storefront windows and they would have me paint it and then take it off 3 months later and then paint something new. So it was a never ending paint job there. I actually had to stop bartering this past year just because my business got so busy.
Okay.
I was like, I can make enough money because my business is busy enough. I can make enough money to pay for dance and I can just be single focused on my business. And so that's what I've done this past year. But, you know, this summer I'm going to probably paint their bathrooms over and build up a little bit of a credit because dance team is kind of expensive. So
yeah. Okay. So what about your son then? What is he involved in? And do you have the margin to do all that for him too?
No, he gets the scraps.
Good. It's just the leftovers. Just go sit in the corner. We're going to dance.
Right. So he's always been so young that there hasn't been a lot of opportunity for him to be involved with anything.
Okay.
This past year, he started swimming and busted through all of the swim classes. And so in July, next month, he's going to start swim team. And he's really excited about that. I was like, Bailey has a thing. Sam needs to have a thing. Sam's thing is going to cost considerably less money.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need to know that. Like, we'll just put him in all the public school sports so that Bailey's private dance tuition. I can't put him in jujitsu, but I can put him in basketball and soccer and stuff like that. So I don't think it's about the money that you spend, and it doesn't have to be equal with each kid. They just need to love what they're going to do and give them every opportunity to do it.
Did she love it all the time?
Dance?
Yeah. Does she sometimes not love it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, she gets tired of it and like particularly ballet. She doesn't like ballet very much because she doesn't like doing all of the technique work, you know, and I'm like, girl, I am paying money for you to go to these classes. You better like it. But I think it's with anything. Like, I love my work and I love my business and what I do for a living, but it doesn't mean that I want to do it all the time. And I think there's lessons in that as well. Like, she's learning that, you know, to make beautiful things, it's hard work. And sometimes you got to eat your broccoli before you can have your cupcakes. And that's what ballet is to jazz and tumbling and things. And so, yeah, she doesn't love it all the time.
Okay.
But she loves it enough that she wants to continue to do it.
Okay. How do you manage, like, body image stuff with girls? That's got to be tricky.
That's a great question. I don't even know if I touched on that in our interview questions beforehand, but I have had body image issues my entire life.
Okay.
Huge issues in high school. I had kind of disordered eating in college, and I have struggled as an adult as well. As I get older, I realize that I am setting an example for my kid. And so I speak much, much less of my distaste for my body and whether I'm gaining weight or losing weight or whatever. She hasn't started like approaching me like, Mom, I'm fat or whatever. She hasn't started doing that yet. I know it's coming. But what I try to say to her, you know, we talk a lot about how important it is to not only be, you know, yeah, you're beautiful on the outside, and yeah, you've got beautiful feet for dancing, and you know, you look beautiful in your costume, but it's more important to be beautiful on the inside as well. We talk a lot about, like, don't you ever be a mean girl. This is what a mean girl looks like, and I don't want you to ever turn into that. Like, if you do, we're going to have words. Mm-hmm. And again, like, when they leave for school in the morning, it's not about, like, get an A on your test. It's about, like, have fun, be good, be a good friend, help others. We kind of have this little sing song that we say to the kids in the morning when they're leaving. And it's all just about building their character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think developing a good positive body image in there, I think so much of it actually has to do with what's on the inside rather than how you look on the outside.
Yeah.
So that's what we try to focus on the most.
Okay. Yeah. My daughter is, she's a healthy weight. And she's active. They are very active. And she'll tell me, like, my legs are bigger than all my friends. And they probably are. But, like, her friends are in gymnastics and are very, you know, like, so.
Yeah.
So I just.
How old is she?
She's 9.
Yeah. So they're about the same age. Yeah. And that's, I mean, we're getting there, aren't we, Emily? Where, like, fifth grade is going to happen and it's going to get all, like, drama with friends and stuff and body image. And it's a scary place to be. And I think it's happening younger now than it was when we were kids, too.
Yeah. I think what's helpful is, like, she likes the music of my workouts that I do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always invited to, you know, come and do this. I just say I'm dancing, which. That's a hideous thought. It's not a good. but so she sees me being active in a way that I'm really enjoying it. So hopefully that, I don't know, it's tricky when you don't in yourself feel that healthy with it, but you desperately want them to. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Girls.
It's a hard one.
Yeah. So tell me about self-care. When you're spending all this time on your business, your marriage is tricky sometimes, your daughter is dancing, there's a lot of glitter. How do you find time for yourself?
I don't find a lot, but it's getting better. When I first started my business, I was 24/7. I was working 7 days a week, 12-hour days. And when I wasn't working, I was on my phone trying to gain customers and meet their needs and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's a normal stage of life to go through when you have a new business. However, I was losing my family. And my husband was getting cranky with me. And I mean, rightfully so, you know, and my kids hated the fact that I had a job working for myself from home. They wanted me to go back to my old job because when I was done with my old job, I'd come home and be a mom. And so it was really difficult. So I started limiting the amount of work that I could do in a week.
Okay.
I found out kind of my magic number and stuck to it, started taking my weekends back. But what I do for self-care generally tends to be in short snippets of time. A lot of times it's going and taking a hot bath with the door locked and not allowing kids in. And if necessary, wear earplugs when you're doing it so you can't hear them pounding on the door or asking questions.
Okay.
Earplugs are amazing. I like them a lot. You know, I get a lot of quiet time to myself every day at work, and I tend to, you know, binge watch Netflix while I'm painting. So I don't feel that I have to get away all the time because I really do enjoy what I'm doing. But, you know, we just got back from a trip from New York. We were there for a week for work and I was there with my husband. Yeah. And, you know, it was really fun to go because we realized, like, we were there and we were actually having fun together. And we're like, oh, huh. I still like you. Like, it's a really nice realization to come to, like, after 15 years of marriage and two kids that have just about destroyed us, like, I actually still like hanging out with you and you're fun and you're funny. And maybe I forgot how funny you were and I need to start appreciating you again.
I love that. That's so good.
That was probably the best part of our work trip. The work part of our trip was kind of a flop, but the realization that I actually still like my husband was really good.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yes. So does he work with you now?
Oh, no, no,
oh,
no.
Okay.
No, he took a week off of work to come with me to New York. My husband's in construction and he's a project lead at a construction company.
Okay. But it was for your work, but he just came to help.
Yeah. You know, I won a contest that Joanne Stores was sponsoring to be a vendor at the Country Living Fair. And they paid for our trip to go. And I didn't want to go alone. And so I asked my husband to come with.
Sweet. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things you told me is that it's important to have something you're passionate about that isn't necessarily just involving your kids. How did you find what that was for a mom who's like, I don't even know anymore?
I've always been a maker at heart. My hands have always been busy ever since I was a kid. Like, okay, I did cross stitch and latch hook and embroidery, and I did all that stuff when I was younger, taught myself to crochet in college. Like, instead of going out and partying with people, I was crocheting until 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? Okay. And so for me, I have always had hobbies, always. And right now I would say, like, when I'm not working, it's either gardening or doing DIY projects. Okay. And it's mostly because I just can't sit still. I have to be doing something all the time. Like, if I'm watching a movie, I have to be folding laundry. But really, on the weekends, I fill my cup by improving my home and making it a more comfortable place to be.
Okay. Now, you said that you recently redid your master bedroom, mm-hmm. and that was really meaningful, more than you maybe thought originally.
It was. I forgot about that. So I would say that our master bedroom has always been a pretty good reflection of what our marriage looked like. Mm. Neglected, a little dingy, not well taken care of, not clean, just not managed. And I started redoing our master bedroom, painted all the walls a nice light color, put in 2 shiplap walls, bought a bunch of curtains, and built a barnwood door. And
wow, you sound like Bob Vila.
I was hoping you were going to say Joanna Gaines, but
I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm dating myself.
You're from Texas, girl. Come on.
Missed that one.
But okay. Yeah, you know, I started redoing it. And oftentimes when I'm posting about stuff on Instagram about my life, I don't even realize what I'm going to say until I start to say it. It's really kind of like free therapy for me. But as I'm writing about this bedroom remodel, I'm realizing that our bedroom is kind of this reflection of our marriage, that for the first 10 or so years, like, it was just neglected and it was, you know, awful. But now that our marriage is in a better place, like, it's time to celebrate that. And it's time to make our sanctuary be a reflection of what our marriage is: cleaner, newer, fresher, classic, but not classic. That's a weird way to describe your marriage, but like comfortable place that I want to be. Yeah. And I love our bedroom now. It's not always clean because I am not a very clean person, but like, it has potential to be a beautiful space all the time. And that's kind of how I feel about our marriage too. Like, we're just in a better place. It's much more beautiful and it's comfortable now in a way that it's never been before.
Yay. I love that. That's such a good story. Such a good picture.
And I didn't even know it until I was writing it. I didn't even realize what I was thinking in my head.
Yes. Let me just ask you, as far as Instagram posts, do you dictate that or do you type it?
Everything is typed for me. Voice dictation does not generally go very well for me.
Right. I'm just wondering because I'm, it doesn't for me either.
I tend to write it out and then I reread it and then I go back and I edit it and I inevitably have spelling errors and stuff like that. I think I am probably a much more well-presented person in type than I am in real life. People are like, you should be a speaker. And I'm like, oh, I think my foot and mouth syndrome would probably get in the way. I'm not quite sure I could do it very well.
That's so funny. Oh, man. Okay, so we're out of time. So will you tell me, what can you not stop talking about right now?
Well, considering we've been trying to do this for 4 appointments, every single time we have an appointment set up, I have something else that I want to talk about.
We'll talk about as many as you want.
Oh, gosh. Well, at one point in time, it was an auction that I held for a little baby boy named Daxton with cancer. Mm-hmm. And we raised over $5,000 for their family, which was amazing. But that's over. So that's done. And then then I was talking about New York for about 3 weeks, but that's over. So we won't talk about that. Okay. So the one thing that I would say I can't stop talking about, particularly this time of year, is 4th of July on the coast.
What is that like?
My gosh. It's the best holiday ever. I have become a believer in the 4th of July because I live on the Oregon coast. It's amazing.
What does it look like? What do you do?
We have a parade in the morning and everybody's wearing their red, white, and blue. And they're throwing all the candy and all the necklaces and all that kind of stuff. After the parade is over, we go to the football field and they have this drum corps performance of these amazing high school kids from across the country. They come, they perform in the parade, but then they do this big performance at the football field. And then we pack up everything and we go to the beach and we set up camp there for the rest of the day. In Oregon, there's sections of the beach where you can drive your car onto the beach.
Okay.
And everywhere you can have bonfires. So we drive our car onto the beach, we stake a claim on some sand, and we set up camp. And then all these other people set up camp around us. And let's just say the police do not crack down on illegal fireworks on the 4th of July in Oregon on the beach.
There you go.
It is insane. Like last year, there was this guy with a rotating propeller firework shooting station, shooting stuff up into the sky. I mean, you can just lay on a blanket. You don't have to spend any money on fireworks because everybody else already has.
Perfect.
And you just get to, I mean, these people are like blowing up cannons like 10 feet from your head. Like it's just.
Wow, that sounds so dangerous, but you love it.
It's not as bad. Like if you were actually in the city limits of Seaside, it would be worse because it's like shoulder to shoulder and everybody's super tight. But where we go, there's a lot more space and we all just stay in our space when the fireworks start. And it's just, it's like a dreamland and you're at the ocean and the sun is setting and the fireworks are going. And it is, Christmas used to be my holiday and now it's the 4th of July.
How interesting. That really does sound magical.
It is very magical. I have friends that fly from Minneapolis every year to come and watch the fireworks with us because it's so fun.
Well, you paint quite the picture, so I can understand why they'd want to come.
You should come, Emily.
Oh my goodness. That sounds so fun. Yay. Well, Dana, thank you. I'm so glad we finally did this.
Yes.
So good
definitely.
To talk to you. I'm really excited to see what God has faithfully done in y'all's marriage.
I am too. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the lessons that I'm learning and thankful for you.
Yay. Oh, thank you. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you later.
All right. Okay, ladies, let's get to figuring out how we are going to be less of a disaster this week because of the things Dana shared. She talked about comparison in her marriage and comparing her marriage to other people's marriages and how hard it is not to compare, especially when we know our husbands better than anybody, so it's easy to pick them apart and run them into the ground. Sometimes it just feels like we know too much. But honestly, I'm gonna say some hard words here. If you can think of nothing other than how rotten your husband is, that says a lot more about the state of your heart than his. And I'm talking to myself here. I don't know if you've noticed, but harping on our husbands doesn't seem to get them on board any faster. Proverbs talks about the possibility of wives being like a constant dripping. I don't know if you have a constant dripping in any faucets in your house, but it is enough to make you go mad. It's a form of torture. So let's not be a form of torture for our husbands, okay? A Bible study teacher told me once that we as wives set the tone in the home and that we can either be the anchor, which weighs everybody down, keeps everybody stuck, or we can be the sail that gets people headed in the right direction towards progress. 99% of the time, honestly, I feel like an anchor, but I want to be a sail instead. Maybe this week you try to have maybe like one sail moment a day, where you lift things up, point people in the right direction just by your positive attitude. I love Dana's point about the state of her master bedroom reflecting the state of her marriage. I'm telling you, after we got off the phone with that interview, I went and cleaned up my room. It's easier to let the hidden parts of our lives go and not tend to them at all and only keep up the public areas. But it's not a good plan. So maybe you see what you can do to spruce up your bedroom. Maybe there's something that you want to do or have your kids do, but it's just not in the budget. And this week, your strategy to struggle well could be praying about the possible ways to use what you're good at to barter for it, like Dana did with her daughter in dance class. And finally, something I'm encouraging all of you to do, Dana has made some struggling well mini blocks in her shop, and they are ready for you to go and buy them all up. Quantities are limited, and a portion of the sale comes right back to support the show. So head to SaylaSigns.com, or you can find her on Instagram and get your mini woodblock struggling well sign. As always, please come find the Mom Struggling Well community. We want to hear from you. We want to encourage you. It is such a fun and safe place to say all your special feelings and tell your tales of woe about tricky things that happened in the day. We get it. I hope your fall is off to a good start. I'm so excited. Fall's my favorite. And I hope you have a fantastic week of struggling well.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.